Alrighty. If you would open your Bible to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 2. Today we're going to do a very, very, very fast overview. And we're going to be doing this in the weeks to come. We've been going kind of slow through the Old Testament, but we're going to begin going much, much, much faster, because we want to get not bogged down in all the little details, but we want to see a big picture of everything that's going on around us. So we want to see the big picture of God's Word. And so today we're going to be looking at the book of Judges and what happens there. Now, I want to tell you this, as we look at the book of Judges, I'm going to give you a framework for understanding it. But there is going to be a cycle we're going to see in the book of Judges that continuously repeats over decade upon decade, hundreds of years that the book of Judges actually covers. And as we look at that, what you're going to see is exactly what is going on in our country today. You're going to see the exact same thing. So the context of the book of Judges is this. Joshua has brought the children of Israel into the promised land. We looked at that last week. Now, Joshua dies. The children of Israel have always been following Abraham, then they followed Isaac, then they followed Jacob, and then they fell and they went down to Egypt and they stayed in Egypt, and then they followed Moses out, and then after Moses they followed Joshua. And the question now is, who is going to lead the children of Israel? And the book of Judges is about man after man after man after man after man and one woman in there who judged the nation of Israel, who helped to give the children of Israel messages from God. But it's also, we're going to see this vicious cycle that continues. And every single judge finds their place in the cycle, and as soon as they die, the cycle continues. And we're going to see this is the cycle of all of humanity. There was a historian one time that showed how most of human history is just a circle. History continually repeats itself. And so there's a lot of lessons for us to learn. But as we look at Judges, I'm going to give you a framework for looking at it. So you can go back and you can read about each judge, and you can study each judge, and you can find that place for that puzzle piece in the big picture of what God is doing. Then we're going to do the same thing with the kings. We're going to do the same thing with the prophets and all of that, and get the big picture, and then we're going to get in the New Testament and try to bring it all together. But in Judges chapter 2, we're going to see this cycle start in verse 7. Notice this. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. As long as the children of Israel had Joshua, they followed the Lord. Joshua had elders. When Joshua died, the elders that served with Joshua, as long as they were there, the children of Israel followed them and served the Lord. Now, Joshua dies, verse 9. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Okay? The generation that was with Joshua saw the deliverance at Jericho. They saw the nations fall. They saw that the Jordan River parched so they could pass through. And because of this, they followed the Lord. However, they did not pass this on to their children. One of the big things that you will read in the law of God is all the feasts, all the festivals, all the monuments. Why are they there? Why do they put 12 stones where they cross the Jordan River? So in the days to come, when your son will ask you, Dad, what is this pile of stones for? You will tell him, this is where God parted the Jordan River. When they say, why is this night not like other nights, the Passover? Then the father would tell his son, this is a commemoration of when the death angel passed over and God delivered us and brought us out of Egypt. The children of Israel did not do that, though. They did not pass their faith and the mighty deeds of God to their children, even though God had commanded them in Deuteronomy 6, when they rise up, when they sit down, to pass on his deeds and his works and his law, their children, they had not done it. So guess what happens? Their wonderful revival, their wonderful move of God, their conquering the promised land lasts one generation. And as soon as they die, guess what happens? Verse 11. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Because their parents did not teach them to follow Christ, to follow the word of God. They now choose their own God, and they choose Balaam. The word Balaam there is plural, means the Baals. The word Baal simply means lords. In other words, they followed idols, and they submitted themselves to false gods. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. If you do not teach your children, okay, if you do not teach your children to follow Christ, guess what they're going to follow? The pagans. They're going to be just like everyone else around them. And it says this, and bowed themselves to them, and, the last part of verse 12, provoked the Lord to anger. Their idolatry makes God angry, and God is going to judge them. So, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them to the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. When they fell into sin, God judged them. God used pagan, this should sound very familiar. God used pagan governments to correct his people who had fallen into sin. Okay, that should ring true to us. Okay, let's keep reading. Nevertheless, verse 16, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Yet they would not hearken to their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves to them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers and followed other gods to serve them, to bow down to them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because his people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I will also not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Notice what we have here, and this is what we're going to spend all of our time talking about this morning, because there's so much information here. And if we look at it, this applies directly to us today and what's going on in our country. And if we look at this, you will have a framework to understand the entire book of Judges. They say Othniel, Ehud, Deborah, Gideon, Samson. Okay, whichever judge you want to, you will find this right here. Now, if you notice in the last couple of verses there, what did he say? That the children of Israel got worse and worse and worse. Okay, this is a spiral. But this is what you call a toilet bowl spiral. Okay? You know, when you flush the toilet, it goes in a circle. And what happens with every revolution? It gets lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. Okay? That is what you're going to read in the book of Judges. Until the end of the book of Judges, you have some crazy things happening. At the end of the book of Judges, the children of Israel become so wicked that a man, his concubine runs off. He goes and finds her. And he's on his way home, and he stops at a man's house to spend the night. Some people come, and they want to rape the man. And he says, oh, don't rape me. Here's my wife. You can rape her. And so they rape her to death. In the morning, he takes her, and he cuts her body into 12 pieces and sends parts of her body all over the nation of Israel. And then they come and wipe out the tribe of Benjamin, except for a few people. Okay? That is what you read in the book of Judges. Starts off with Joshua, right with God. And you know what happens? It spirals and spirals worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So what happens? Joshua, the people are right with God, are they not? They're loving him. They're serving him. They're following him. What happens after Joshua dies? They fall into sin. Because they fall into sin, guess what God does? He brings a pagan nation to rule over them. They begin to steal all of their possessions. They begin to tax them. They begin to imprison them. They begin to judge them. You remember Gideon. Where did God meet Gideon? Gideon was on the threshing floor, but where was he threshing wheat? At the wine press. You know why? Because it was the time of the wheat harvest, And they were stealing, the Midianites were stealing all of their wheat. Okay, what was that? That was God's judgment. The judgment was physical. The judgment was financial. Okay, the judgment was their possessions. The judgment was their freedoms. All of those things were taken away. Why? Because of their sin. So what did God do with the judgment? Well, the people began to cry out. Remember where it says God had mercy on them because of their groanings. Because of their oppression, they begin to pray and they begin to cry out. Why? They didn't cry out when they were in sin. They didn't want God when they were in sin. When did they want God? When they began to lose their possessions, when they began to lose their freedoms, when they began to be beaten, when their children began to be kidnapped and taken away and turned into slavery. Then they cried out to God. God, who is merciful and gracious. If you read the book of Judges, okay, people ask this question. They ask Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Okay? 7 times? That's pretty gracious, isn't it? Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. I was reading an article about a man who was at odds with his father, and he asked the Christian counselor, he said, when can I give up on my dad? He said, when God gives up on you. Okay? That's something to think about. Because if you read the book of Judges, you and I would have moved to New Zealand, moved to Hong Kong, moved to Canada a long time ago. But what do we find? That God is gracious. And when you'd almost think there's a Bible verse that says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. So because of the repentance, God would raise up a judge. He would raise up someone like Samson. He would raise up someone like Ehud. He would raise up someone like Gideon. He would raise up someone. And then, as long as the judge was alive, okay, he would overthrow the oppressive government. Most of the time, what you find is the judge leads the people into war. Almost every single time. Ehud was, if you're left-handed, you love Ehud. Ehud goes to, I can't remember the king's name, Eglon. I think it was the king of Eglon. And he has a sword, but so they always check the opposite side to draw a sword this way. But since he's left-handed, he puts the sword over here. And so they don't check that side. And so he's there, and he goes up to the king and says, I have a message from God from you. And he takes the sword and sticks it in, and the guy's so fat that he can't pull the sword out, and the guy's fat literally closes in on the sword and swallows the sword up the hole in his belly. Okay? That's what the judge did. The judge led the people to war. What did Gideon do? Well, what did Gideon do first? He tore down his father's altar to Baal. That was the first thing he did. Okay? Remember, we talk on Father's Day, what we talk about. You destroy the sins of your father? Okay, what did Gideon do? Very first thing he had to do before he was ever fit to lead the children of Israel into deliverance, what did he have to do? He had to tear down the altars of Baal. But guess what happens as long as Gideon's alive? Guess what happens as soon as Gideon dies? They go back into sin. And so guess what happens? Another nation comes and oppresses them. And guess what happens? After it gets really, 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 really bad, they repent. And so God raises another judge. Okay? They listen to that judge. They get right with God. God delivers them. And this pattern continues on and on and on and on and on. Now, you can see this right now in our nation. Can you not? We complain because we have an oppressive government that is taking away our freedoms and neglecting God's law. According to the book of Judges, why is that? Because of our sin. You see, the book of Judges is not focused on the oppressive governments. The book of Judges is not focused on the Midianites, the Philistines, Sisera and his army. The book of Judges is focused on the people of God. In fact, and this is something I'm going to be preaching on later on today when we talk about what's happening in our nation. In the whole Word of God, the whole Word of God focuses on one group of people. And that is the people of God. That's it. The Word of God does not focus on all the pagans. It focuses on the people of God. And you know what happens? The pagans are used to judge God's people for their sins. And what is God's judgment intended to do? Bring us to repentance. If you do not like what's happening in our nation today, you need to repent. And if you repent, God will raise up deliverance. Now, if you notice, this cycle continues through the whole book of Judges. Now, what have we looked at from the very, very beginning in Genesis? Adam and Eve were right with God. They sinned. God brought judgment, death. They were kicked out of the garden, flaming sword. And then God promised deliverance. So what is the whole Bible looking for? It's looking for a deliverer. That's what we've been looking at. Every single story, we've been looking, who is the one? Who is the seed of the woman? Who's the seed of the woman? When we've seen, it's gone from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah. Well, guess what happens? You begin to find Caleb's son. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Caleb's son is from the tribe of Judah. The people are right with God, and he's a deliverer. And guess what happens? No, he's not the deliverer you look for. And then all of a sudden, you get all of these judges. And guess what happens? People begin to go, oh, it's Gideon. No, it's not Gideon. Samson! No, it's not Samson. Othniel! No, it's not Othniel. Why? Because the book of Judges is not just telling us about human history and God's interaction with us, but the book of Judges is pointing us to a much greater picture. Because here is one of the huge problems. What was the main problem that we just read about when Joshua died? What was their main sin? Idolatry. Idolatry. What is idolatry? It's when you begin to look to someone or something other than God. And you know what happens so often? Is this idolatry? Becomes the judge. We're looking to Caleb for our deliverance. We're looking to Gideon for our deliverance. We're looking to Samson for our deliverance. We're looking to an earthly judge for our deliverance. And you know what the whole point of the book of Job is, book of Judges is? Not a single one of these judges is the one you're looking for. Listen, I love reading some. I mean, I love the Old Testament stories, and Michael loves them as well because there's a whole bunch of blood, guts, gore, fighting, all of that. But you know the thing? Every single one of the judges is a sinner. Every single one of the judges fails to deliver the people of God. And you know what happens after the judges? We start this whole cycle over with kings. That's what happens. You know what happens after the kings? We start this whole cycle over with prophets. You know what happens after the prophets? Eventually along comes a judge, a prophet, a priest, a king, a lawgiver, who is greater than Moses, greater than the prophets, greater than David, greater than every single one of the judges, every single one of the kings. And you know what he does? He breaks the cycle in your life. Okay? We are no longer bound by this cycle. Do nations still go through this cycle? Yes. But does this mean that you and I are condemned to continually go through this cycle? No. Why? Because we have a greater deliverer than Samson. Listen, if you read through the book of Judges, you know what you are going to find? You're going to find all of these judges are sinful, flawed human beings that God uses. But what happens? If you look to a sinner, how long is their deliverance going to last? It's temporary. What have we been looking at with the earthly sacrifices, with the temple, with the tabernacle, with the priest? What have we been looking at? Man's deliverance cannot last. And what you're going to see, and I'm kind of telling, you know, kind of, again, we're looking at the huge picture of Scripture, is we are looking for a greater judge than any judge found in the book of Judges. Why? Because the greatest judge in the book of Judges, as soon as he was dead, guess what happened? The children of Israel went right back to idolatry. But what happens as soon as Jesus Christ dies? He rises again from the dead to smash the cycle. You see, the book of Judges, yes, does give us a framework for history. And you can see this happening in our own nation. Okay? We are right about here. Okay? You think you got judgment now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? That's where we are right now as a nation. Right there. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to get a whole lot worse. you and I believe is going to happen? That it'll bring people to repentance. That is always God's stated objective. Okay? God has no delight in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their sin. So when we look at this, though, what we see in this, where my pen go, marker go, is that we see this whole cycle smashed by Jesus. Does this mean that Christians no longer sin? No. Does this mean that Christians are no longer disciplined? No. But what do we see in the book of Judges? What do we see? We see the toilet bowl cycle. What happens? Every revolution around, what do we read? The people of Israel got worse. And they got worse. And they got worse. And they got worse. But what happens when Jesus Christ comes and changes an individual? What happens? We begin to grow and become like Christ. Are we free from sin? No. Do we still face, according to Hebrews, the Lord's discipline? Yes. But what happens? We are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is what happens when someone's saved. Okay? When someone's saved, all of a sudden, this sin over here, I know this, the Bible doesn't do this, but let's just illustrate, okay? We have, okay, this is like axe murder, okay? Scale of 1 to 10, okay? This is like, you know, butchering people. And this right here is, a small ounce of pride. You know what happens when you first get saved? You really get convicted about a 9 and an 8. You know what happens over the years to come? All of a sudden, you do a 3, and you are broken in tears. You do a 2, oh my goodness, I must have lost my salvation. And then eventually you get where the slightest sin bothers you. Why? Because Jesus Christ is far greater than Gideon ever was. Jesus Christ is far greater than Samson. His deliverance is a permanent deliverance. Does this mean that we no longer sin? No, but what are we saved from? We're saved from sin. He reaches down, He snatches us out, He delivers us, He pulls us out of this. Do we still, from time to time, fall into sin? Yes. And what does God do? God disciplines us to bring us to repentance, and Jesus Christ forgives us. And you know what happens? We begin to sin less and less and less. All of a sudden, the sins that we used to do, you almost think that, what does the Bible say? It says that old things pass away. Okay? That's what we call sanctification. That process where we begin to come out of our sin by God's grace. You know, sometimes it's very rapid, and sometimes we kind of cool down, and sometimes we fall a little bit further and go, oh my goodness, what happened? Our spiritual growth is kind of like this. You know, like that? It's not the straight chart. But the reality of this is when we look at the book of Judges, there's some wonderful, amazing stories. There's some awesome stories in the book of Judges. But what is the book of Judges showing us? There is no earthly judge. Okay, this is where the scary thing comes in our nation. Is the people of God, I'm going to preach on this just a little bit, so this is just a little snippet. The people of God look for a president to fix it. That's the problem. Because you missed the whole point of the book of Judges. The whole point of the book of Judges is that there is a greater judge. And his name is Jesus Christ. So if you want to get a framework for understanding the whole Old Testament, there is a greater patriarch. There is a greater judge. There is a greater king. There is a greater priest. There is a greater lawgiver. There is a greater deliverer. There's a greater prophet. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. So what is the book of Judges calling us to do? To repent of our sins and follow Christ. To not look to man, but look to the God-man, Jesus Christ. Now, there's several other lessons we can learn from the book of Judges. One, what always, always, do we read, brought about this fall into sin? The people that were right with God didn't pass it on to their kids. Isn't that what it said? That's where it always began. That's where it always began. Is people that were right with God neglected to pass it on to their children. If you were to look today in America, and you begin to look at the decline in America, you can go back to exactly what we read in the book of Judges. People didn't pass on to their children. You know, many of you, some of you come from Christian homes, but many of you didn't. You know why? Because your parents never taught you to follow Christ. So now that you are following Christ, what is one of the parts of following Christ? You pass it on to your children. You pass it on to your children. Why? Because otherwise we will be nothing more than a flash in the pan. We'll be one generation that loves Jesus, and the next generation will go right back to the pits. If you study, hey, this is again, if you study the rise and fall of nations, but especially the Roman Empire, we are the second coming of the Roman Empire. If you've never studied the Roman Empire, that's what we are. Because you know what happened to the Roman Empire? They began to have marriages fall apart, and then homosexuality became accepted. The next thing that came accepted was pedophilia. Pedophilia was very rampant, even in the Caesars. Okay, many of these Caesars were pedophiles openly. It was completely accepted in their society. But you know what happened to the Roman Empire? It was completely overtaken by the people of God. Why? Because in the Roman Empire, abortion and infanticide, I have a hard time saying that word, where you kill babies, was taking place all the time. And you know what Christians did? They took in all the outcasts of the Roman society, and they taught them to follow Christ, and they taught them to raise their children to follow Christ. And you know what happened? Christianity exploded in the Roman Empire. Now, eventually the Roman Empire fell. But if you look, though, Christianity continued to thrive and blossom. But then you can tell with the history of Christianity. Thank you, Mrs. Z. With the history of Christianity, you chart the history of Christianity. What happens is when Christianity finally gets up here, and all of a sudden we're no longer a persecuted minority, guess what happens? We become lazy. We don't share the gospel anymore. We become in love with this world, and we teach our children to love this world and not love Jesus. And guess what happens to the church? That's what happens. So I hope this helps you not just to understand Scripture, but the book of Judges helps us understand what is going on in our society today. And obviously, in just a minute, I'm going to be preaching on this. But the question that we have to ask, we can't just bash the Supreme Court. We have to ask this: how do we stop this? How do we stop the toilet bowl spiral? Repent. Repent and pass it on to our children. That's it. Now, again, this is just a framework for understanding Judges. The next time you read through Judges, you will find this circle, the whole book. And eventually you'll find it in the book of Kings as well. But any comments or questions on this?
That is, how it expresses. Talk about, you know, that's what's happening in society and the world, but also is happening in the church. Correct. So the history of the decline of the church and not passing on from generations of teaching to your children, same circle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. But, yeah, Bob?
I've heard numerous times how the SEC is saying that we've lost an entire generation. And we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's there. It's a failure to share Jesus.
Yep.
And, this morning as I was walking about trying to get ready to announce, I thought of that I am being negligent. I'm not sharing Jesus Christ more with individuals around me. So I'm as guilty.
I think I'm going to preach a little bit. I don't want to preach the whole sermon. It'll be long, so what's making it a couple minutes longer? But the reality is exactly what you're saying, is we have lost an entire generation. But the reality is what happened last week is good, because it's going to awaken some of God's people. It's going to awaken them and say, wait a minute, if I keep my mouth shut, it's only going to get worse. and we'll lose two generations, and three generations, and four generations. So I believe what happened last week was God's judgment, and every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every ruler has been appointed by God. Okay, our Supreme Court was appointed by God. Our president was appointed by God. And I am led to believe not for our blessing, but for our judgment. And why does God discipline his children? Just so that they will repent and become more like Christ. And that's what we're seeing, because we have. We have become where we believe Christianity to be in the majority, and so we just kind of get this idea that everyone who's born an American is a Christian. If you're born in America, you have to be a Christian. So I don't need to share the gospel. If you're born in a Christian home, I don't have to share the gospel with you. You know, I took you to church. That's all that's necessary. And that attitude is what lost the whole generation you're talking about. And that attitude is what has to change if we're going to see our nation change. Yeah.
I would say like a whole generation of cheap grace, like your religion won't cost you a thing.
Yep.
And our society, the way we grew up, that's how it was. Yes, you're Christian. And we rely on that cheap grace and that cheap everything. Just, it's all instant. You know, don't worry about it now.
Yep.
Have your fun. Have your life planned out to a T. Don't ask him. It's a good time.
Yep. No, I mean, it's exactly what it is. And we, instead of discipling, we just said we're going to save as many people from hell as we possibly can. And because of that, we didn't save very many people from hell at all. We just got a whole bunch of people, which, by the way, you know, they talk about the decline in the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't believe the Southern Baptist Convention has declined at all. They talk about the decline in church membership. I don't think church membership's declining at all. We're just losing goats. And they need to go. God says, you won't clean your church out? I will. You won't get rid of the goats? I'll run them off. And that's what's happening in our society today. And I think it's a good thing. So, any other comments? All righty. Well, we're done a little bit early today. So next week we're going to look very similar, the same thing. We may take a little bit of time to look at some of the kings, like David and Saul. I'll be honest, I'm very tempted to go into all the little nitty-gritty of Saul's life, because there's so much stuff there that you miss with Saul and David. But I'm going to try to stick to the big picture. And maybe one day we'll actually go through all the little things that are there. But I want you to get the big picture like this today, because I think we've gotten so consumed with little verses that we miss the whole big picture of what is happening in the Word of God and how it's pointing us to Christ, and we get really consumed on the little things. So I don't know how quickly we'll go through Kings and Chronicles and Samuel, but it will probably be very quickly. Same thing with the prophets. Because again, not because I don't want to stop and look at it, but because I want you to get the big picture. Because one of the things that and the reason I did this study is because Christians have a very hard time connecting Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Genesis 3 with the Great Commission, with evangelism. They have a hard time connecting Judges and Kings and prophets with Revelation, Jesus Christ, the New Testament. And I want you to get it where you can see the whole picture. And that way, when we stop and look at a little thing, you can see it where it's supposed to be in its proper perspective. Anyone else? All right. Well, Gabe, you can close the prayer.